Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm glad you're here tonight. We certainly want to honor the Lord on the Lord's Supper night. Just a somber occasion. It's an important occasion. It's a very special occasion in the life of a church. We meet about four times a year, and we honor the Lord at the Lord's table. Someone has asked me one time, do you don't do it the first Sunday of the month or the first Wednesday of the month or every Sunday. And the Bible says, for as often as ye do it, this do ye in remembrance of me. And so we're not about trying to do it so often that it loses its importance and become more ritualistic than it becomes important to us meaning-wise. But at the same time, we are commanded to participate in the Lord's table. And if you will, please join with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Shall we stand as we read God's word again together? Verse number 16 down through verse 22. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 16 through 22. The cup of the blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel to the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then, that the altar is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to the devils, and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of the devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? Thank you, and you may be seated. One of the great concerns in this passage that Paul is addressing was the problem in the ancient world where the Corinthians, who were believers, they were being tempted to go to pagan feasts. And when they would go to pagan feasts, they would participate and be involved in those pagan feasts, which were actually more or less ways to honor the gods who were the pagan gods of those in the area of Corinth and Achaia. And so what they were doing is they were asking a question, is it wrong for us to go down and share a meal with them, have time with them, and then as believers, would that be wrong for us to do that? And Paul's addressing that subject. And he told them, and he says, you cannot participate and be a part of sacrifices and those things given to Satan and be a believer. Because by doing that, you are violating what the whole emphasis of the message is. That's what he was saying. But tonight, I want you to look very carefully with me, because what we are doing tonight is what I believe is very important. It's a sharing event. We are sharing this event together, the Lord's table. And what is important about that is found in verse number 16. I want you to notice the word communion. The word communion is there because it is a word that reflects what we're talking about tonight. It's the idea of fellowshipping. It's a mutuality. What brings us together tonight is our common bond in Jesus Christ. It's our salvation. The Bible says it like this in Jude chapter 3, verse 3. There's only one chapter actually there. It said, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was need for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered for the saints. this year, our theme has been growing together. Because we want to grow together as a church. We want to learn from each other. We want to experience Christian life together. There's a connectivity that we have one with another because we're part of this local body. It's called the church. And therefore, as that, we are sharing our Christian life together. We are sharing the work of God. We're sharing the Lord's table together. We're sharing the burdens together. And I cannot begin to tell you how many burdens people have. And we mentioned one tonight with Heather. I think it's important that we pray for each other because we all share burdens. We all have difficulties. And then we are to encourage each other and so on. So this Lord's table tonight is a sharing event. Because with that, we realize that all of us, in order to be a part of the Lord's table, it starts with our salvation. It starts with the moment that we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9 says it like this, God is faithful by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Philippians chapter 2 verse 1 speaks of this communion, this fellowship, this unity, this commonality that we have together. He says, if there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, speaking of that unity, Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. So when we talk about taking communion, we're talking about being, if you would, as coming together as a body. We're a part of that. See, nobody can just take the Lord's table outside of the body. That means that we come together, we share this event together through the local church. And by the way, someone asked me one time, why is it that you have it in the evening and not in the morning? Because that was the pattern that the Lord Jesus established. It was in the evening. And so we do it in the evening because it's the Bible pattern. That's very important to keep in mind when you wonder why we don't do it in the morning. We do it in the evening because that's God's pattern in Scripture. But I do want to call your attention to one passage, if I could please. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. This is very significant in light of what I just recently introduced here in the first part of the message about the confusion of, if you would, those who are coming together saying that, you know what, we can go to the Lord's table, but we can also go to our pagan brother's table, or pagan, if they called him brother, it wouldn't be a brother, but we can go to our pagan friend's table and we can participate. What would be wrong with that? And the Lord is trying to show them that since it's a coming together, there's no coming together with satanic activities. In other words, you can't come together. You have to learn that there is a difference between right and wrong, that there's a separation between that which is holy and that which is unholy. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul writes, and he addresses this when he speaks of this very issue. And here's what he said. He said in verse number 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship, there it is, hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And notice, here's what God's saying. God says, look, there are just some things that just don't naturally go together. Paganism and godliness don't go together. Light and darkness don't go together. Demonic things and godly things don't go together. And so Paul was addressing this. He wants us to realize how important it is that when we come to the Lord's table, that there is to be an understanding of a deep sense of God's holiness and God's righteousness, and that we recognize that God is holy, and that if there's something in our life we need to take care of, we need to take care of it at the Lord's table. And so he's addressing this so that we can get that. But we do it as a church body. We gather. And so if it's a sharing event, there are some areas in which we share that I want you to look at with me very carefully. Number one, write this down if you would like. I do not have notes for you, but I think it's good that if we just get this. Number one, we are sharing salvation together. We are sharing salvation together. The Lord's table is a reminder of salvation. First of all, we have the cup. The cup, of course, is a picture of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not literally his blood. This is a symbol of his blood. And what the Lord wants us to understand is, without blood, there is no remission of sin. There has to be the shedding of blood. And so, of course, as we go to the cross and we look at the cross shows us the necessity of the spilled blood of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus here is showing us that this is very important. When he lifts up this cup, and this cup of blessing is mentioned because it refers to the cup that is used in the Passover. And the Jews were very familiar with this Passover experience. And what they would talk about is when he took this cup, he lifted it. And as he did, it was the third of four cups in which Christ lifted it in the Passover supper. And it says in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 25, after the same manner, also he took the cup. After what manner? After he was taking the cups, the third cup was the cup of blessing. And this cup, he says, is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. This cup of blessing obviously refers to the blessing we have in salvation. Isn't it wonderful to be a Christian tonight? Aren't you glad you're saved and forgiven? Aren't you glad you're going to heaven no matter what happens? Isn't it good to know that we have the peace of God? I mean, honestly, I'll tell you tonight, I'm just so happy that I can gather with God's people, that we can sing these songs, we can sing about the coming of the Lord Jesus, and we know that when he comes, we'll all go up with him. What a blessing that is. And so we can call this cup a blessing. This salvation is a blessed experience. And as we share this Lord's table tonight, I want us to realize it is a cup of blessing for us. And God wants us to realize that it's that blood that paid for your sin and my sin. First Peter says it like this, for as much as you know, that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. See, tonight, the reason why I do have salvation is not because I'm a good person. It's because of the blood of Jesus Christ and what he did for me. But then we have the bread. And it mentions here that symbolized by the bread. The bread, of course, refers to the broken body of the Lord Jesus. Each church, as they gather, even in the early church, when they would gather, they would look to the bread as a symbol of Jesus Christ. In the early church, they typically only had one loaf. And what they would do is they would take that loaf and they would break it off and share the pieces. Because it refers to the fact that Jesus was willing to share his life for others. He was willing to give his life for others. And if you're not familiar, in John's gospel, Jesus on many occasions reminded them of the great I am that he was. And on one occasion, he says, I am the bread of life. Because bread was staple in the first century. And without bread, mankind would die. And so what they would do is that and that bread was very meaty bread, had a lot in it. And what Jesus is saying is, without us, we have no life. Without Jesus Christ. Us, we cannot experience life without Jesus Christ. And so this bread refers to what Jesus did, how Christ, when he went to the cross, he was pierced in his hands and in his feet and the thorns in his head. And of course, he was pierced in his side by a sword. So it reminds us of the fact that Jesus' body was broken for you. And for me, Isaiah says it like this, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. and with his stripes we are healed. Thank God tonight that the reason why we share salvation is not because we're good people, it's because Jesus died for mankind. And so we share that tonight. And this table, as we come together, this is a sharing event of, number one, our salvation. But number two, it's a sharing event of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Our relationship. Look at verse 17, just a reminder. For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. You see, we're all partakers of the same Father. Those of us who know Christ, we have a common Father. That makes us a part of a family. Amen? My dad one time asked me, why do you guys call each other brother and sister? We call each other brother and sister because why? We're part of a family. Amen? You know, many times new Christians come in the church and you hear, this is brother so-and-so. What do you? And I've had them come and say, can you tell me, what do you mean by brother? Well, look, you got saved, right? Yeah. Didn't you trust Christ to save? Yeah. Okay, well, understand. Now you have the same Father I have. Now, if you have the same Father that I have, what would you be? Brother. Oh, yeah, I get it. You see, the truth of the matter is tonight, you and I, we have the same Father. Isn't that a blessing? So because of that, we have a relationship that we share together. This involves the solidarity of a church. The solidarity means that we are connected, we're related to one another. That's why when I can get on the plane and I can fly on the other part of the world, I can arrive in Japan and I can take you to Japan. I can go to Osaka, I'll take you down to Sydney Newtown Baptist Church. You can go there and you can meet people that you can't even speak their language, but they know the same Father you know. And they share the same love that you have. And they have the same bond that we have in Christ. And then you can get on the plane, you can fly from there. You go over to the Philippines, you can go to Iloilo and go to Rick Martin's church. And you can meet those Filipinos there. And as you share the same Father that they have, the same God that we have, we can share that event. We do that together. We recognize that. What a wonderful truth that is. That we have solidarity. We're all interconnected. Do you realize that when you're a part of God's family, I mean, it's a great blessing. So we share this together. This Lord's table is the event in which, when we're talking about growing together, and certainly that's been our theme, and as we're trying to grow together, we're saying, look, we are sharing tonight together this very fact that we worship together, that we worship the Lord together. We're a community in the church through Jesus Christ, that we have a unique relationship among fellow believers. But it involves, secondly, a celebration. And I say, secondly, under that sharing our relationship with Christ, it involves a celebration with the church. One man said it this way. William Wilson said this. He said, the Lord's Supper is not a funeral memorial service for a dead friend. It is a joyous victory celebration for a resurrected and reigning Lord. Isn't that the truth? Tonight, we're not celebrating a dead Savior. We're celebrating a risen Savior. Jesus is not in the grave. He rose from the dead. Thank God. All the rest of the saviors of the pagan world that they're trusting in, their saviors were men who died just like you and I will die one day. But our Savior, He rose. And what a blessing it is tonight to know that. We are serving one who is alive and real, and one who we celebrate his death, his burial, his resurrection. That's what it's all about. And he is working in our hearts tonight. And so tonight we celebrate the meaning of our relationship through him. But then there's thirdly, we share our identification with Christ. That's what the rest of this chapter deals with as we look at it in context. In other words, what he's saying is this. Look, if you go to a pagan feast, you're identifying with the pagans. In 2 Corinthians, the Bible says, for Christians, we can't be identified with demonic things. We can't be identified with paganism. There's no communion we have. We can't be a part of that. And what he's saying is this. He says, look, he says, we can't do that. What we're experiencing is that which we share together in Jesus Christ, and we don't take Christ and put him with Satan, because that will not work. So what are we identifying with tonight as we celebrate the Lord's table? We're identifying ourselves with Jesus Christ. The word communion means that we participate with, that we partner with. We are identifying with a risen Savior. We are identifying with a loving Savior, a compassionate Savior, a sacrificial Lamb. That's what we're identifying with. So how do we do that? Well, just two thoughts, and then we'll partake of the table. First of all, through our participation. I remember several years ago, we had a man that was coming to our church for a while, and we'd have the Lord's table. He was real faithful. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And, you know, you could always tell you, he always had a spot in the church. You know, everybody kind of has their spots that kind of, you know, kind of locate. But every Lord's table, I don't care when it is, if I had it, you know, like in second Sunday night in September, I had it the first Sunday night in January, whatever, it didn't matter. That was the one night he wasn't going to be there. And so I went to him and I said, you know, I've noticed this. I said, you know, I've never done this ever in my ministry. And I don't think I've ever done it before, but I went to him because he was so faithful. And I thought perhaps for me there might have been something that maybe it was a reason, something, you know, and it was noticeable after a while because he was such a routine. And I said to him, I said, brother, you know, I just want to know, I notice you don't come to the Lord's table, and I'm not sure, you know, because the Bible says that we are to participate in the Lord's table. Is there something wrong? Maybe are you questioning your salvation? Have you not been baptized? Or what is it that is maybe, you know, that's causing you to not come? I mean, what can I do to help? And I'm not coming there like, you know, Mr. Holy Guy looking down on him. I'm coming to say, I'm your pastor. I want to help you to get so you can. Here's what he said to me. He says, you know, every time that rolls around, I just don't believe I'm right with God about it. And I respect that. Because if you're here tonight and you're not right with the Lord about something, then I would urge you to get it right tonight so you can. But if for some reason this is not maybe the time you can do that, maybe it's you got to go talk to someone, maybe you have something between somebody else, another brother or something, and you need to settle that, I understand. Just pass the cup to someone else. Pass the bread to someone. I understand that. But this was so continual. I said, you know, man, I'm praying that God will help you. How can I help you? And we discussed it, and I tried to help him to understand because it's so critical that we participate. Are you with me, church? We are to participate. So you know what that is? In a sense, that's God's way of saying, look, if you're going to be obedient and participate in the Lord's table, and if you're going to participate in the Lord's table, you need to get right. That's what he's saying. I mean, I know it's kind of cold and that's just straight, but that's what he's saying. So we need to participate. And if we come with that understanding that, you know, I'll never forget when my first time, I said, am I supposed to do this? Yes, you're supposed to do this. Because participating in the Lord's table is a way in which we are looking to the fact that as we participate as a church body, that we are understanding the significance of what Jesus did for us. And there the Bible makes it very clear that in this passage of Scripture, that he wants us to realize how important it is that I'm going to be identified with Jesus Christ. So when I leave here, I can say, you know what? If this church is a witness to the world, I'm identifying with the fact that I'm a Christian, I'm right with God, I'm living for God. That's what I'm doing. So we participate. But then we do it through partnership. We are part of God's family through salvation in Jesus. I already mentioned that. I like what Hebrews says. He says it like this. He says, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. You see, tonight, as we participate, we are partnering with Jesus Christ and with fellow believers in the Lord's table to honor Him. I must tell you this. There are some warnings that God gives. God, in 1 Corinthians 11, He gives us some pretty fair warnings about it. Can I get you to go with me, please, and turn over to 1 Corinthians 11. Here's what He says. Verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the word of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Here's what Paul says. Paul says you have to examine yourself. In just a moment, I'm going to have a word of prayer, and I'm going to give us all an opportunity to examine ourselves. This is personal examination. What we need to do is we say, Lord, is there anything in my life, and I want you to ask the Lord, anything in my life that I need to make right? Maybe a bad spirit, maybe a critical spirit, maybe a lustful heart, maybe something else in your life. And God knows and you know about, and God is going to bring that to your mind. I'm going to make that right. There's nothing that I would want between me and the Lord, nothing between my soul and the Savior, the songwriter says, when we participate in the Lord's table. It's the opportunity to get right with the Lord and be totally right with God. That's what God says the Lord's table's about. We share that together. I must say this, if you've never been saved, just pass the cup right along. If you've not been scripturally baptized, it is after salvation, deep water immersion, just pass it right along. But if you've been saved and scripturally baptized, and to the best of your ability, after you sought God's face and you know that everything's right between you and the Lord, then I invite you with everyone else that we might participate in the Lord's table. God says that's how it's to be done. Now there's a lot of questions that people have had about closed communion and all those kind of things. Tonight we just believe that if God's spoken to your heart and you want to participate, it's all about us together sharing this event as a church family. And I want to challenge each of us, Lord, what is it in my life you would ask Him? Lord, what is it in my life that I need to make right? Because I want to be right with you tonight. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every one of us could leave here tonight and say, everything is totally right between me and the Lord? You're talking about Revival Sunday. That'd be the best thing we could possibly have. And I trust and pray God will speak to us. Shall we pray?